Welcome back to our innovation series. I'm joined by Dr. Christian Dalvis, Superintendent of Partnership Schools. Christian, thanks for being with us today. And tell us, what is Partnership Schools? What's the organization do?
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you. So the Partnership Schools is a Catholic school management organization. Really, we're a network of schools. We work with dioceses to ensure that the legacy of urban Catholic schooling, these engines of faith formation and uplift and social mobility and economic opportunity and community capital, these schools that we love so much, that our goal is to ensure that they remain as excellent for the students in them today as they were for our great-grandparents who built them. In the 100-plus years since so many of our schools were established, the world's changed a lot. We've learned a ton about how learning works, what makes for good teaching, how to run schools. And our goal is to bring some of those best practices and some capacity to schools that have been around for a long time and really need some support around capacity and need some support around best practices. We've seen 40% or so of Catholic schools close since the year 2000. And we really want to ensure that the schools, especially schools serving lower income and marginalized folks, you know, live for another 100-125 years or more to continue the legacy that was established by the women and men, mostly women, who came before us and created these, you know, what is probably the best engine of economic opportunity in the United States over the last 200 years of lifting people up and providing opportunities and putting people on a path to college and career and heaven.
That's inspiring mission. And so the partners in Partnership Schools, I mean, what's the name represent? Who are the partners?
We are. So, I mean, me and you, in a very real sense, the partners are the network and the diocese. So in a sense, it's us and the bishop. And our goal really is to partner with the diocese to create some capacity at the school level, especially. And we really want to be in partnership with dioceses. We're here at the invitation of the bishop to support his educational ministry in the diocese in Northeast Ohio. And so we're supporting currently four schools in the Diocese of Cleveland. We started with St. Thomas Aquinas and Archbishop Like in 2020, and we started working with Metro Catholic and St. Francis in 2022.
Thank you. And yes, those schools have a tremendous history in this diocese. You mentioned that teaching and learning has changed in the 100 plus years that some of those schools have been in existence. What academic strategies or curriculum choices make Partnership Schools stand out from other Catholic schools or other educational options?
Yeah, so we take a pretty specific approach to curriculum and instruction. In curriculum, we like to say we're standards aligned and content driven in our curriculum. We adopt a shared curriculum across our network of schools. So our knowledge-based curriculum is always, in language arts, has always been a science of reading curriculum, even before that phrase was in widespread use. We adopt core knowledge language arts, or CKLA, for our primary grades, and reading reconsidered for our middle school grades, Eureka Math for lower grades, and Saxon Math for the older kids, Amplify Science. The scope and sequence is intentionally spiraled in each content area. We create pacing guides to support teachers and leaders. And then we provide a ton of professional development, upwards of 100 hours a year, really, really trying to treat our teachers like professionals who are just constantly working to get better at their craft, with a goal of really strengthening teacher knowledge, content knowledge in their subject area and in their specific curriculum, and also of instructional practice. We have partnered with folks that Teach Like a Champion, which I know has been working in the diocese for the last year or so. We've been partnering with them since the partnership's inception in 2013 and have been working with folks from Teach Like a Champion to implement Teach Like a Champion instructional strategies, videos, and really lively professional development sessions for quite a long time now.
Excellent. That sounds like just a heavyweight academic program. How do you balance the rigorous academic expectations with formation of character and faith in our students?
I guess I don't always understand this question to some degree. I don't see that these things need to be mutually exclusive. We tend to root everything in our beliefs, and all of our practices flow out of our beliefs. That's how we organize our kind of way of working in the partnership schools. And one of our root beliefs is that we believe that everybody is made in the image and likeness of God for greatness. And we believe that our faith demands high academic expectations and strong faith formation and character formation. If we really believe, Frank, in the Jesus that in the gospel who says, I came so that they may have life and have it in abundance, then we've got a mandate to have high academic expectations. If our kids are to have life and have it in abundance, no matter what zip code they come from, we need to have the highest academic expectations. We can't make any excuses for why a student may come to us in kindergarten far behind. We know why they may be behind, but we've really got to have the same expectations that we have for everybody. So we share this belief that our students are made in the image and likeness of God. They're made for greatness, and it's our job to help coax that greatness out and to do whatever we can to help them achieve it.
Thank you. Let's talk about school leaders. What role do school leaders play in shaping the culture of the individual schools, and how are they supported by the network?
Honestly, I think school leaders play the most important role in this. They're the linchpins. I mentioned the root beliefs. Each of our schools has developed their unique set of root beliefs. They go through the same process to do this, but because of each of them has a unique history and culture and community that has emerged over the course of, in each case, over a century. Even St. Thomas and St. Francis, which are just a couple blocks apart, they have utterly unique kind of historical, cultural communities. And so they have a different sets of root beliefs that inform how what they do and how they do it. But the school leaders are essential in not only guiding the team in articulating the root beliefs, but most importantly, aligning everything that happens in the school day to those beliefs. So we create everything from a handbook to the curriculum to decisions about how to interact with parents or how to make decisions around policies and procedures, rules, rituals, routines, artifacts, the physical space, all of the operating norms in the school are aligned to what we believe. And the school leaders are like the world builders here. Their job is to create this world in which everything is aligned and everybody, all the adults in the building, are acting in ways that are aligned with these beliefs so that every child can count on the fact that every adult is going to act in a way that reflects a belief that they're made in the image and likeness of God, that we're made for each other, that we're better together, that every minute matters. These are some of the beliefs that some of our schools are organized around, that excellence happens on purpose. And so the school leader is just really essential. They're not administrators, they're world builders, they're leaders. And so for us, the school leader is really the most important person in the building in a lot of ways, also because they determine who's in every other room. So that's critical for us.
Hey, can you say a little more about that? You've described the network expectations of strong Catholic school culture and academic excellence, and then this local leadership that implements and that is caring for faculty hiring and formation and so on. How do you ensure, as a network, how do you ensure alignment between this network vision and the day-to-day operation at each school?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it involves a team and involves a lot of close collaboration. So we have a team of folks who, some of whom live and work in Cleveland, some of whom live and work different places. And we're all just in constant communication with folks in the schools, if we're not actually in the schools on a daily basis ourselves. And we're in conversation with our principals. And another aspect of this that I just want to mention is we have academic deans in the schools who have share some responsibility for the academic achievement of the schools. And then we have a director of school operations in each school that helps run, you know, the what we might consider the back office of the schools, the school finances and budget and personnel, the HR, facilities, the tech, the state compliance. And the job, the purpose of the dean and the director of school operations is to help free up the principal so the principal can be the academic and faith and culture leader of the school. I mean, you know, as a former principal, Catholic school principals today have to be both the CEO and the CFO and the COO and the chief tech officer and the facilities manager and the chief complaints officer and, you know, everything else, you know, the chief custodian as well. And so part of our goal is to let the principal be the principal, and having an academic dean and a director of school operations and a network with a team that provides a lot of things like data analysis and data collection and scholarship support and finance support, HR support. We provide all this support as a way of providing capacity to the school that schools otherwise don't have to allow the principal to really dig in on building culture, transforming culture as needed, sustaining culture, and also just really digging into academics. So that's one of the ways that we, by providing this additional capacity, we free up the principal. And then part of the effort is to, having folks on the ground who are working really closely with the principal, as a principal coach who is, meeting with the principal every week to talk about their progress towards their vision, and their kind of concrete actions that they take each week towards that end. We have a couple of experienced veteran principals on our team who are meeting with principals on a regular basis, and we're just really, it just takes a lot of close collaboration and work together.
As you've named a lot of benefits there, benefits for the principals, benefits for the system. Given our audiences here, probably pastors, principals, school leaders, board members, all kinds of stakeholders who are interested in the future of Catholic education, why would a school want to become a partnership school? Talk to us about the benefits of being a partnership school.
Sure. I can tell you, you mentioned that you might ask this question. And so I asked one of our principals this morning, I asked her how she would answer it. And she said, the structure of the partnership allows me to be a school leader and not an administrator. She said the network framework provides support for operations, back office work, as well as fundraising facilities, state compliance. She said, this all allows me to focus on teaching and learning and faith formation, which is our goal in a lot of ways, right? I think, our goal is certainly to provide capacity. So, St. Thomas Aquinas and Archbishop Like, when we started there in 2020, they had a principal and someone working the front desk. And that was the extent of the team outside of the classroom teachers. And now they both have a principal, an academic dean, a director of school operations, and someone working the front desk, and another operations associate. Each of the schools has grown by about 35-40% since we started, and they've held that enrollment stable. But there's some real benefit to having that leadership team structure for the school. And having the capacity to maintain everything from fundraising to facilities to finances in the back office. Professional development is another side of it. We provide up to 100 hours of professional development for teachers a year in both instruction through Teach Like a Champion and curriculum, both from members of our academic team and our curricular partners.
Maybe I can explore a little bit some of the things you described. Like, tell us about family engagement. They engage with families around the surrounding community to create a partnership that supports success of the students and their families.
Yeah, this is something that's been pretty exciting, actually. I had a dad recently tell me at St. Thomas, which is celebrating its 125th year, his dad said, I feel like this place is really becoming a community center. As someone who wrote a historical dissertation about a Catholic school founded in 1900, and just knowing the history of Catholic schools, which were largely founded by immigrant groups to be community centers, not as a side thing, but as a central thing to what they are, St. Thomas is kind of getting back to its roots in a sense. And a year and a half ago, maybe 2.5 years now, Tally Collins, the academic dean at St. Thomas, invited a couple of dads that she had seen around the school and in the car line regularly. She invited them to come to a meeting for a group. She wanted to see if she could get more dads involved in the school more actively. And she wound up having about a dozen dads show up at this meeting, and dads, stepdads, granddads, father figures. And pretty soon this thing snowballed. And the idea was just to have them be present in the school as informal mentors. They would come and volunteer and just be in the halls, pop into classrooms, play with kids at recess, hang out in the lunchroom. And these guys have just really taken this and run with it. And to the point where we have a pretty solid crew of a dozen and a half dads now. They run everything from muffins with moms to a family movie night to a family game night. Once a month now at St. Thomas, they have some sort of family community engagement event, but they're drawing upwards of 200, 250 people regularly. So when they showed Little Mermaid 2 on the side of the rectory garage last summer on a Friday night in October at 9 o'clock, they had 250 people out at the corner of you know, 90th and Superior. They had 400, they went through 400, you know, muffins on muffins with mom. These guys have just rallied the troops. These guys are really interested in, you know, disrupting the narrative around Black dads in the city. They've demonstrated that, you know, we had always focused on, you know, we need to know where the moms and grandmas are if we're going to find kids. Well, these guys are like, well, there's dads here too. And it's just been really remarkable to see the kind of engagement. And this has affected everything from daily attendance, because these guys are checking in with the kids who are not there every day and telling them, it's important to me that you're here. And I expect to see you, and I want you to check in with me. And so these, some of these kids are really, I've watched one guy every day he gets there, he goes straight to Mr. Richmond and says, I'm here. And that's been really neat to see. It has an effect in a way that, like, your teacher telling you you need to be here just doesn't have the same effect as a guy from the neighborhood telling you that. And so it's just been really remarkable. It's affected attendance. It's affected a re-enrollment. It was higher this year than it was last year, and these guys played a role in that. So we're really excited about, and we're replicating this in the other schools. So really excited about this family engagement as a way to strengthen everything from student attendance, student re-enrollment, to student achievement.
Thank you. Yes, and we talked a little about outcomes. Are there methods for tracking student progress or outcomes that distinguish partnership schools?
Yeah, I don't know that they distinguish us, but because I don't know that we're doing anything, you know, unique in terms of tracking. But what maybe is unique is that most schools of the size that are the size of a St. Francis or a St. Thomas just don't have the capacity to collect and organize and analyze data to the degree that we're able to, just because most schools of that size don't have a network behind them. So we're able to collect and gather data. We have a massive database that we've turned into a digestible dashboard. And so we can, at a glance, look at the latest MAP data that is cut a number of different ways. So it can make more sense at a glance to kind of keep our finger on the pulse of where things are. It also shows in a curriculum, like the curricular assessment data, it shows everything, all kinds of operational data from attendance, chronic absenteeism, enrollment, re-enrollment, withdrawals, student discipline, other survey data, net promoter scores. So there's all kinds of data, financial data, scholarship acceptance, and with data. So we have this dashboard that really is helpful at maintaining and tracking progress on everything from student academics to, you know, scholarship deposits. And so it's really helpful for all aspects of our school operations to have a sense of how we're doing and whether there's any flags that need to be attended to and things like that.
Thank you. And you mentioned about significant professional development. What professional development opportunities are offered to faculty and staff, and how do these reflect the goals of partnership schools?
Yeah, so, you know, there's mountains of research that have been done on like what works in terms of growing academic achievement, right? Like the big question in educational research is how do we help students learn more and faster? And after probably 30, 40 years of academic research on this, the one finding that is persistent and consistent is that kids learn more when they have high quality teachers and more time with high quality teachers. So it's basically good teaching and more of it is kind of the one tried and true answer to the question. And so we try to support those two things. We extend the day a little bit, so we have a little more time, more instructional time. We try to capture as many instructional minutes during the day. One of our beliefs is every minute matters. And try to, you know, in terms of the good teaching, we try to help our teachers be as great as possible. And we want to put in their hands the resources to that. And we want to offer them the best possible professional development that we can to both strengthen their instructional capacity and their, you know, their capacity to work within the curriculum. So we get together for a week and a half before school starts in August every year as a full network. So we gather all the teachers from all four schools, and they work together within their grade bands and content areas, which is really another benefit in some ways, because, you know, when you're the second grade teacher at a school the size of St. Francis, you're working by yourself as a second grade teacher. But now you've got a team of four other teachers, two at Metro, one at St. Thomas, and one at Archbishop Like, and you're all working together. We give us time for planning together, and you've got a kind of professional learning community of second grade teachers to work together. We get together also throughout the year. We dismiss early every Friday for in-school faculty meetings we work on professional development, at noon every first Friday for a full professional development where we gather together with the other schools. And we have full day in service in the fall and spring, again, typically with our friends from Teach Like a Champion or curricular partners or with our own academic team. So we really try to really take seriously that kind of, if what it takes is good teaching and more of it, we want to make sure that we equip our teachers to be the best possible teachers.
That is so important and so great to hear. Talk to us about, when it comes to the highest quality teachers, how do you, as a network, recruit and retain high quality educators to share in this mission?
Yeah, and this has been, as any principal who may be listening will know, this has been a struggle in the last few years since COVID. You know, application pools have been a lot smaller, and it's been harder and harder to land strong candidates. So, you know, when we first came to Cleveland, we extended the school day and we increased teacher salaries by 15% to compensate teachers for that additional time. And that put our salary scale at about 85% of CMSDs, which we thought was pretty, we were pretty proud of that. But, you know, CMSD has really aggressively increased their salary scales. And we're looking at our scales now, and we're in the final stages of retooling ours to try to be more competitive. So currently we're at 75% on average of breakthrough schools salary scale, and we're only at 54% of CMSDs, which was really surprising. They've really increased their salaries by a lot. I think we're still competitive with other Catholic schools, but we really want to compete for the best and brightest teachers in the city. So we're looking to not only lift the floor of our scale, so lift the starting salary, but also we're adding an element where every 3 to 5 years, teachers can kind of go up for promotion. And we're adding these kind of professional teaching levels that people can go up for promotion and once promoted, receive a pretty sizable salary increase. And that'll put us, our scale at about if not at 100% of breakthroughs and much more parity with CMSD, which we're really excited about. And we hope it'll be good for retaining teachers and retaining our best teachers and for attracting high quality folks down the line.
Well, that's incredible and so consistent too with what Bishop Mlesick has been messaging around the changing landscape of Catholic ed and the changing resources of school choice here, that we've got to invest in the system, got to invest in teachers. And so it's awesome to see you all leading the way in the Bishop schools.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
I'm going to ad lib a question in here that I think is important to about the cost of it. You named a bunch of things that are increasing in cost. Does it cost more than cost us the diocese more? So I'll ask that here. You've just described, you know, there's more training, more support, more personnel, higher teacher pay. Like this is an increased investment in Catholic education. Does it cost the schools more? Like, does it cost more tuition to attend? Does it cost the diocese more to be a partnership school? Or how is all this increase funded?
Yeah. So we raise money to cover the difference between the cost to educate and the amount of the state scholarship. So we're on the hook to fundraise a pretty sizable amount each year to cover that difference. The benefit of being a national organization is that we have several foundations and donors who have kind of a national interest, whether it's in school choice, urban education, Catholic schools. But we have a number of folks who are not based in Cleveland, but are interested in helping to create a proof point or to demonstrate what's possible. And so we've been able to attract a lot of funding from outside of the city and region. And so that's really we really just have to bring some funding to the table. For instance, the salary scale initiative that we're about to launch, we're fundraising for folks who are outside of Ohio to get that started. At its most expensive, it's going to require that we have that we enroll at most about 15 more students per school, and that won't be necessary to have that many even until for maybe 8 years. So we tend to look at things in terms of, you know, how do we offset this cost by increasing enrollment over time, and we believe that in this case we need to fundraise to get it started, and then we believe that we can increase enrollment over time to offset that cost so that we don't need to fundraise forever to cover this cost.
Well, that's an important clarification. And I asked that question sort of open-endedly, but we should make sure our audience is aware. We're talking about 4 Catholic elementary schools in the city of Cleveland where they've become diocesan because there isn't a parish structure there anymore. And so these are largely, everyone there is on one of the state scholarships, typically the Cleveland Scholarship. High percentage of students are low income. No one is paying tuition beyond the scholarship. It's not being funded on the backs of parents or tuition. So yeah, you're bringing an incredible amount of resources to the table. These are the diocese schools, and you know, we have a few things we do to help keep them afloat, but otherwise the partnership schools has taken this entirely and has put in all the additives.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like us to know about partnership schools?
You know, I think about my, I got started in this in Cleveland in 2020 when our team in Cleveland consisted of me and our pal Rich Clark, who founded St. Martin de Porres and then moved on to the partnership when, after he retired from St. Martin, he was charged with potentially starting a Catholic elementary school to strengthen the quality of graduating eighth graders could head to St. Martin, and wound up at the partnership and spend some time convincing the partnership to come to Cleveland and convincing Cleveland to bring the partnership. And, you know, Rich had his favorite gospel passage became the one when, I guess it was Acts of the Apostles, when Paul gets knocked off his horse and he's told, go into the city and you'll be told what to do. And that mindset in some ways captures some of what we try to do. We don't go into the schools and just tell them what to do. We go into the city and we'll be told what to do. Our goal is not to go in and say, like, this is the model that works and this is what you have to do. But instead, we go into each school with a real mindset of partnership and with a real sense that, you know, what works at St. Thomas may not necessarily work at St. Francis, even though they're both in St. Clair Superior and they're just 20 blocks away. But our goal isn't to just impose something, but to, we know that schools grow from the ground up. And so I think it's important to mention, anytime we talk about like a model or a network, it can sometimes feel like this is a cookie cutter. But I feel like after I was at all four schools over the course of 2 days last week, and they're just so different. They go through the same processes and they have the same structures in terms of leadership and they use the same curriculum, but the schools are still very different places with their own history, culture, feeling that is, you know, in a lot of ways hasn't changed for a really long time. And we have some moms and grandmas who all went to the school and are sending their kids to the school. And so anyway, that's all to say that we're really excited about partnering with the people who have been there for, you know, in some cases. So we have got some folks in the schools who went to the schools, who got married in the churches next door and, you know, plan to be there for life. And so I think there's nothing more representative of what Catholic schools have always been in the United States than those folks. And we're just really proud to be standing alongside them.
That is awesome. Now, if you had to highlight one key aspect of the partnership schools approach that sets it apart from other educational initiatives, what would that be?
The one aspect of the partnership schools that I think sets it apart, that at least attracted me to it. Before this, I had been a professor at the University of Notre Dame for a long time, teaching people how to be principals and teachers of Catholic schools. And the reason I jumped on this opportunity to help the partnership expand to Cleveland is because of the just unapologetic commitment to both academic excellence and faith formation in the Catholic tradition. Like, I just think that the way that the partnership is just totally committed to being robustly Catholic. And because we're robustly Catholic, we have to be academically excellent. That those two things are so intertwined and deeply intertwined. And that it's not that we can be Catholic and academically excellent, but that because we're Catholic, we have to be academically excellent in schools like St. Thomas and St. Francis and Archbishop Like and Metro Catholic. I've just, in the almost 30 years of being involved in Catholic schools, I've just run into too many Catholic schools that serve low-income communities that they're Catholic, but they're not, but because the kids are poor or whatever, the academics are a luxury for kids who aren't poor. Academics are a luxury for kids. But instead, what I love about the partnership and the thing that drew me to it is the zeal for excellence of all kinds that is driven by our faith.
That's a Fantastic answer. Inspiring answer. So what does the future look like for the partnership?
So, I mean, you and I have talked about, you know, we're open to the possibility of working, supporting other schools, working with other schools in the Diocese of Cleveland. We're, you know, we're here to, at the invitation of the bishop, and we're proud to support his educational ministry in Cleveland. And, you know, if there are other schools in this corner of Northeast Ohio that we can support that would benefit from the kinds of support that we have to offer, we're certainly open to doing that. We're also, you know, there are other dioceses that have expressed an interest in us expanding. We're exploring potential expansion in a couple of other places. But, you know, right now we're really focused on making sure that these four schools are as strong as they can possibly be. But, yeah, we're certainly open to possibility. We have a really strong Cleveland team in place now, and I think we could support some more schools if that's something that folks would be interested in.
It's great to hear. And then they can reach out to you. They can reach out to me. They can talk to people at the network level to further this conversation if they're interested.
Yeah. Yeah. Be happy to talk to principal or pastor.
Well, thank you so much, Christian, for joining us, for being part of this innovation series. Thank you for all that you are doing to lead innovation and irresistibly Catholic, academically excellent Catholic education here in the Diocese of Cleveland and beyond.
Thanks, Frank. It's a real privilege to get to work with you and Bishop Malesic and Father Don and all the folks in the diocese. It's been a real pleasure to get to partner with you for the last several years. So really glad to be here and appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Thanks and God bless.
Amen.